Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show. Hello, Amanda Thebe here, and this week on Fit and Chips Chats, I am speaking with Nikki Gaylor, and she is the director of Silk. Silk is a vaginal lubricant. It's pH balanced, and I want to talk about all of the aspects to do with using lubricants as we age, but I wanted to bring Nikki straight into the show because we're going to talk about why she's selling vaginal lubricants, how that came to be, and then why it's so important, and then we're going to talk about sex, baby. So, hi, Nikki. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. I'm really happy that you're on the show. We don't talk about vaginas enough. Well, actually, I talk about vaginas all the time. well, I should hope you do.
Exactly.
Seems it's your job. So, yeah, Nikki, so you were the director of a company called Silk, and they're a vaginal lubricant that is derived from the kiwi plant in New Zealand. I'm actually going there again. I have family there, so I go all the time. I never thought to rub a kiwi on my vagina, so I'm pretty sure that's not what you're going to tell everyone that we're going to do. But what on earth got you into this business? Why are you selling vaginal lubricants?
Well, it's an interesting story. It was actually my family. So it's my parents. My dad's got a pharmaceutical background, and he used to do some work, consultancy work over in New Zealand. And they came across Silk, and he recognized that there was a gap in the market. This was many years ago, about 20 years ago. And they just thought it was an absolutely brilliant product. And so he decided to bring it back and to distribute it and market it in the UK. And he started off doing it very low key, just doing it, direct mail. And in 1997, he got it on prescription, and he's just taken it from there. And it's only recently that menopause has become, more in the mainstream or talked about. And for years and years, no one's really wanted to talk about it. And really, the only other lubricants on the market have been things like KY or things that aren't natural. And the thing that sets Silk apart from other products is that it is natural. You know, as you said earlier, it's pH balanced, it's paraben free. It's a really nice formula so that it not only feels good, it's also really good for you as well.
And then you took over the family business. Is that what
That's
happened?
That's right. So my background is after uni, I went into advertising. So I built up a successful career in advertising, working on many big campaigns for Green and Blacks, Nescafe, Kraft. And then when I had my first child, I decided I didn't want to go back into doing that. And so my dad said to me, well, why don't you come and do some marketing stuff with me? So I did. And I was just doing bits and pieces. And then gradually I became more involved, and I really enjoyed it. I think there's something really interesting about women's health. And gradually over time, I became, you know, more and more, I guess, important to the business. One of the things that I did was develop lots and lots of relationships with key health professionals. So I built up a relationship with Kathy Abernathy, who is now chair of the British Menopause Society, with Louise Newsome, with Nick Panay. So lots of big names out there. I just got to know them, and they all really, really thought Silk was a great product, and that there was nothing else like it on the marketplace.
I've heard the same things as well. And while I don't always like to use podcast for like product placements, and that's not really what this is about, because we're going to talk about other things. I really respect certain people when it comes to talking about menopause, Hannah Short, and also Louise Newson, Cabby
Kathy Abernethy. There's a whole bunch of people out there that I know are really pro women's health. And the thing is that scares me is that, well, one, the lack of education when it comes to menopause. And of course, that's my deal. That's my jam. I'm always talking about it. But down to the nuances of things like the vaginal atrophy, I've had like a ton of people on the show talking about like what can happen through menopause as far as vaginal atrophy is concerned. But then women are then thinking, well, shit, I need to get a lubricant. And so they're going out and buying the first thing they see on the shelves. And often that is KY jelly. And the science is pretty damn clear about stuff like that, that it, as soon as we go through menopause, the pH levels on our vagina completely change. And we need to have something that isn't going to disrupt that, because we're already like more susceptible to UTIs and to, you know, vaginal infections and bacteria buildup. And so for me, something that's out there that isn't going to disrupt that, that's not going to cause irritation, and that can bring back some enjoyment
to
a woman's life. Because like, we're going to talk about like how miserable it can be not having a sex life, but how we can even just even contemplate that again when we're in agony, you know? So I'm assuming that that's sort of what you've discovered over time, right? Is that women are desperately looking for help.
They are, and lots of women that we come across don't really understand what's going on. And because we don't like talking about vaginas, you know, often I find that people just keep it all to themselves. They suffer in silence. You know, we know that 80% of women that go through the menopause are going to suffer with vaginal atrophy, you know, vaginal dryness. But only a third of those go to their doctor and talk about it because they're embarrassed. That's really, really sad, because actually, once they recognize or understand what's happening to them, there are things that they can do, you know, lubricants, moisturizers, and even, you know, it needs to be some local estrogen can make all the difference and can quickly clear things up. But it's amazing how many women out there don't do anything. And it has such a massive impact on relationships, on their working life, on you know, it can be devastating.
And one of the things I often hear, and there's some great resources on your website, which I'll send people to, because I, you know, I like that it's something that you're talking about a lot. But one of the things that I've heard a lot from women is that they start to dread going for their annual smear test, their pap smear test. There's all different names for it. But the fact that when you have to go to see the doctor or the nurse, and then you have a smear test, it can be really painful through menopause when it seems that the vaginal tissue is a little bit more delicate and fragile. And there's some women that tear as well, of course. And so that must be something that you've, I think the point of my question was, are you learning more and more about the different issues that are happening for women just because you're involved in the industry now, and that you've seen, like, you've had these conversations with people like Kathy and Louise?
Yeah, and going back to the whole smear thing, that is a big thing. And I know that the Eve Appeal, who are a charity in the UK, they've done lots of research. And one of the biggest reasons for people not going for a smear is because they're worried about it hurting, as you've said. And it's a shame, because actually you can ask the nurse to use a bit of lubricant on the sides of the speculum, and that should make things a lot more comfortable. Or you can go and actually get some local estrogen in, you know, before you go to your smear, and that should help things. So there's lots and lots of things that you can do.
So what does silk do? Is it just a lubricant, or is it a moisturizer? I mean, what does it actually do, and how often do people have to use it?
So we just do a lubricant, but it can also be used as a moisturizer, because it does exactly the same thing. At the end of the day, it provides moisture. You can just use a few drops as and when you need. So it's not like a treatment, and that's probably the beauty of it. You don't have to use it and then 3 days later you apply it again. You can use it for lovemaking. You can use it every day. And because there's nothing in it, it's a completely natural product, it doesn't matter how much you use. You could use the whole bottle if you wanted to, and nothing, you know, there'll be no side effects from it.
So is it water-based as well?
That's right, it's water-based. So you can use it with condoms, you can use it with tampons, you can use it with sex toys, you can use it with pelvic toners. you know, it's a really nice formulation. And because it's made from the kiwi vine, it's got a really lovely sheer viscous texture, which gives it that really silky feel. So it's quite different from other lubricants out there.
Yeah, so I mean, that's so great, just that these options are out there for women. I mean, you know, I haven't really experienced it. I did go through a phase where I could feel things were different down there, and I am now on a HRT, and I've sort of got some, you know, restoration back down there, for want of a word. But I remember trying to have sex with my husband, and I literally thought I was going to snap his penis in half, and I just was like, what the hell is happening? He was saying a few more things than that, but like it's the first sort of like introduction to like vaginal dryness that I'd even heard of. And so like, here's me knee deep in the whole menopause conversation, and then I've literally been talking about this for years, and then all of a sudden I have a dry vagina, and I'm like, oh, so, you know, stop everything. This is a thing as well. This is another thing that happens in menopause that we don't talk about. It's like,
and the thing with vaginal dryness is that it's a one symptom that doesn't go away. So when all the others go, when the hot flushes, when the night sweats, when everything else goes away, vaginal dryness will continue. So it's the one symptom post-menopause you're still going to have. And so that's why, you know, it's really, really important that we do find something that helps us, because, you know, we're all forecast to spend a third of our life now post-menopause, aren't we? Because we're all living longer, etc. Yeah. So, you know, we need to make sure that we are aware of it, and we don't just put up with it. We don't just suffer in silence, because, you know, it can really hurt.
Well, yeah, and I understand from a lot of women that I've spoke to that like its penetration is completely, it's so painful. Using tampons is painful. You know, there's a whole different area that sometimes we don't even think about, right? And then there's even those women who are like post-cancer treatments that have a different dynamic and a different change to their structure down below. And so we have to give them some relief. There has to be something. Can we talk more? Can we talk about sex now, though? Because that's sort of one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show as well. Because, you know, there's so many different aspects to like sex, and it's basically, when it, you know, if we're in a relationship, it sort of can be part of the foundation of our relationships. If we're single and we're looking to sort of like start dating and stuff, and, you know, or even if you have friends with benefits, because actually that's sort of like a bit of a life goal of mine. God forbid anything happens to my husband, but if it does, like, I've decided I'm just gonna, you know, have a little friend with benefit. But like the idea of not being able to have sex because of something like this, actually I find quite horrific, because it's sort of an integral part of my life, and I'm not really prepared to give it up. So can we talk about that, like having sex through middle age?
Yeah, I mean, because it's so important. Intimacy is, you know, it's the mainstay of any relationship. And also there's been lots of research done to show that having sex, being intimate, is also really good for our mental health, and also physically it's really good for us. And also, if the more sex we have, the better things like vaginal dryness are, because it helps to keep all the blood flowing. And there's that old saying, isn't there, if you don't use it, you lose it. So, you know, sex is really, really important. But I think the thing is, as we age, we've got young kids, maybe we've got teenagers, I think lots and lots of women, as they come into their 40s, and I'm, you know, and I can kind of testify to this, you've got so many things going on. You've got your work, you've got your kids, you've got all these things that you're juggling, and then you've got to have sex. And I think there was something that someone said to me, a relationship counselor, very recently, and actually it really resonated with me, and it made me think. And she said to me, foreplay begins on Monday. And I really thought to myself, God, that's so true. Because often I'll go through the week, you start off on Monday, and there's niggles, all these niggles that build up. You know, who's taking the bins out? Who's emptied the dishwasher? I don't know, who's making the packed lunches? All these things. And so by the time it gets to the weekend, I often feel quite irritated, and I don't want to have sex. And you know, and he obviously wants to, and he's making all the moves. And I'm still in that kind of quite angry state, or not angry state, but quite irritated state.
Where like even his breathing pisses you off. Like it's, yes, like literally, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, all these things, it's becomes, I think, quite difficult midlife. And then thrown into that mix where you're already slightly irritated is fluctuating hormones. You know, and suddenly your libido, it's kind of disappearing, and you might start to have the odd kind of itchiness and soreness, and all of that together can create a nightmare. And I just think it's really important that as we, and particularly I think around that time, you know, the mid 40s, people up to now haven't realized that perimenopause does start in your mid 40s. You know, that classic, or menopause doesn't start until you're 51 when your periods have stopped. You know, we know now that isn't true. And I think for many women, you know, in the past, and probably still now, they're in their mid 40s and their libidos are starting to wane, they've got this bit of dryness, and they don't know what's going on. And so I think it's really important that women recognize and are informed about what's happening, so that they can do things to take charge of their sex life. And there's lots and lots of simple things that you can do. Obviously, use lube. You know, so many women, lots and lots of my friends, you know, are funny about using it. And actually, when I've given them silk or whatever, and they've tried it, you know, they've all said to me, "It's amazing. It makes such a difference." But there's other things that you can do as well. You know, talking to your partner. I think if you are suffering with vaginal dryness, and if you are finding that your libido isn't there, talk to your partner, because the chances are they probably think it's them. And I think that's when relationships can start to break down, when the partner doesn't quite know what's going on and they start assuming things. And so I think it's really important that, you know, you talk to your partner. And I think experimenting, mm-hmm. as I said, using lube, maybe, you know, foreplay, scheduling in date nights, you know, there's lots and lots of things. But I think the first thing obviously is recognizing that the role that your hormones are playing and making you feel the way you are.
It's really interesting, because I remember before I started acknowledging I was, or even understanding I was in perimenopause, and for me it started earlier, because it can start in your 30s, and that's sort of me, like late 30s. And
I definitely
didn't even notice. I mean, I was never like a little rabbit before, but I used to enjoy having sex often. But definitely in my 40s, even feeling really good about myself and healthy and stuff before I became more symptomatic, I definitely could see that I wasn't so into sex like I was. And then I got to the point, and I hear this all the time from women, where I didn't even notice that I wasn't even into sex anymore, because this general apathy just overwhelmed me, or just it wasn't an overwhelming feeling. It was more like this, like, veil that just like fell on top of me, and so I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think that we weren't having it. And then I've got like, oh God, I hope he never listens to this show. But then I have my husband, who's very private, who'd say, you know, it's been like 23 days since we've had sex. He probably even did the minutes and the hours, because his balls were probably busting. I don't know. But I just felt as though, and I was like, Jesus, really? I didn't even notice. And I didn't notice or care. And I just was like, all right, so he clearly thinks that this is about him. And not even David Beckham could stir anything in me. Like, you know, like nothing was going on down there. And so for me, it was a real eye-opener and one of those opportunities to be able to find different ways to make him feel special again. And honestly, it was definitely worth the while doing, because our relationship was starting to feel strained. Like, I was already a miserable cow because I was so symptomatic. And then I didn't want to have sex with him. And then I was, you know, losing my mind over the smallest stuff that didn't require me to lose my mind. And so that, I think it was no wonder he felt like he was cause, or I'd gone off him, etc. When I just had gone off sex, right?
But I think that is such an important point, and something that I hear all the time, is that it kind of just, people kind of just find themselves trickling into it. And then before you know it, you're getting divorced, or, you know, and I think that's the important thing that I really want to do. And what we're trying to do is educate women to let them know, look, if you're feeling like this, it's probably because of your hormones, and actually there are things that you can do, because it's a horrible feeling like that. And, you know, and I recognize that as well, you know, and it's just such a gradual thing that you go from having lots of sex to suddenly you're not really having very much sex. But also, is it because you're tired, the kids? Is it because you're working? And because you're not sure, you don't do anything about it. But actually, there are lots of things you can do. And I think that's the message to get out there is that, yeah, that, you know, you don't have to put up with it.
It's really interesting. I'm quote from Brené Brown that I love, and I'm not going to quote it correctly because I don't have the capacity to remember things like that. But the essence of it is that, you know, there's no shame in resting and there's no shame in slowing down because we live in a world where it's seen as a status to be exhausted all the time. And unfortunately, I think that's the problem with a lot of women going into perimenopause. You're already going at 100 miles an hour. Hi guys, Amanda here. I'm just jumping in to ask you a quick favor. If you are enjoying my podcast, then I'd love you to leave me a review on either iTunes or Google Play. It helps me get in front of new listeners so I can keep making great content for you. And in return, I'd like to send you my Abs on Fire 12-week core-focused workout plan. All you need to do after you've done your review is simply email me at amanda@fitandchips.com and I'll send you the program straight away. Thanks, guys, for all your support. And now back to the show. You're not going into this in this slow, steady state where you're able to cue into things like, oh, look, this has happened, or yeah, I don't feel as good as I did last week because we're already feeling like shit because we're just doing too much anyway. And so I think that, like for me, that the things that worked for my husband just to create that intimacy again, and it was really small things in the, and because we have such great open communication, which I think is key. I'm really glad that you mentioned that because I'm like wear my heart on my sleeve literally and tell him everything that I'm feeling. When it came to making him feel better, it didn't take much at all. Like it really was just a case of things like was creating a date night. So for the last 3 years, every Friday night, it doesn't matter if we've been fighting or whether I feel sick or literally my leg has to be falling off or something, we go out for a date night. And it might be a half an hour nip to get some local noodles. It doesn't even need to be a date night. Like I very rarely get changed or put makeup on. We just go out on our own. And it was really good for me to realize that I actually did still like him. He was still an important part of my life, you know, and his breathing didn't irritate me as much as I thought it did. And, you know, like, and so that just made him feel special that I wanted to be with him and do stuff. And then small things like we binge watch our Netflix. My Netflix and chill is a little bit different to everyone else's. You know, it usually involves peppermint tea and a blanket, but regardless, we do the Netflix and chill and we'd like snuggle or I'd hold his hand or even going out for a walk, I might hold his hand and I could see the difference that that made. And so recreating intimacy for me was one of those really important things. And we know that through menopause that our oxytocin levels decline, and that's our like love hormone, right? That's one of those things that we see dwindle slightly because it's so integral to social bonding, sexual reproduction, childbirth, breastfeeding, all of those things that sort of we don't use anymore, need anymore. And so, you know, you're fighting hormones when you're going through menopause, and so you've almost got to fight back a little bit, I think, you know, when it comes to creating intimacy. You've got to say no, fuck it, I still need this. It's really important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's really important. And I think having scheduling in date nights, I think that's great. Having a set night once a week, or if you can't do it once a week, every fortnight or whatever, but just making sure that you have that time. And it doesn't have to be either about penetrative sex. You know, if your vagina is so sore that it's hurting you so much, and because it's hurting, you're scared, whatever, I think actually just start off by, as you say, connecting, making sure that you still like each other. And I think once you start talking and that connection starts coming back, then I think the other things will fit into place.
Yeah, and I have women telling me, in privacy or so, I clearly want them say their name, but this is pretty common, is that they don't even want to have sex because of things like, you know, their urinary their urinary stress is so bad, you know, and actually it can make them pee and it's embarrassing, right? And so there's all of these things to me that we just don't even consider when we think of menopause, right? We just think, yeah, whatever, they're going to stop having the periods. But it's this, I mean, to me, this GMS, this vaginal atrophy is just one of those areas. It's just not spoken about enough. And I know it's a big issue in women. And I know that they often leave it too late. So things have got to the point where they're really struggling just to get through the day. It's depressing, right? So being a bit more proactive in this, and if a woman is in a situation where she really is struggling to have penetration, or she has got these like urinary type issues, that's to me the perfect time to be seeing a doctor. Go and see a doctor, like get maybe some local estrogen cream just to try and get some integrity back and start building up some I can't even think how to describe, because I'm like literally using my hands. When I talk about my vagina, my fingers start going. But it's just actually the feel of what your vagina feels like when you don't have estrogen in there. It's limp, it's saggy, you know, and it's fragile, and the skin is very thin. And all of those things can be helped with local estrogen, like a topical cream for sure.
Yeah, and if you're worried, if anyone's worried about taking HRT, actually local estrogen is very, very different, because obviously it's applied topically, but also the percentage of hormone cream in there is tiny. So it's obviously local just to vagina. So it's not like taking HRT. So if you are worried about taking HRT,
which then, they won't be, because I talk about it all the time on the show. I think we're at the stage now where if you're still worried about HRT, go back and listen to all the episodes, because we've moved forward. Come on, let's be completely frank about this. It's the most effective treatment for menopause, bar none, right?
Absolutely. And the risks far outweigh the benefits far outweigh the risk, particularly in terms of looking after your heart and looking after your bone health. It's a no-brainer.
But even with HRT, some women are still really struggling with vaginal atrophy. And like you say, it's one of those things that it really isn't going to get better unless you help it. And women on HRT can also still take an estrogen topical cream. And in addition to that, if you're taking HRT and you're still just really dry, then try a lubricant, like give it a go, because what have you got to lose, especially something like this that we know has got a good pH balance, and it's not going to impact the integrity or anything of, like, it's not going to increase the bacteria. Like, literally, KY jelly is the worst thing you can put on your vagina. It's, I don't even know how it's still in business.
Yeah, I don't either. I guess because it's very cheap, but also I think it's just one of those things that people just associate with you say Lou, people well have up until now said KY. I think that's starting to change as the conversation about the menopause is growing and becoming more mainstream, and there are better and better lubricants on the market. I think that is changing, and hopefully in 5 years' time, KY won't be around.
Well, not for menopause, not for women who are going through the menopause at all. And it's really funny because you called it lube, and there's part of us stuck in the dark ages as well, when we talking about sex is pretty out there anyway. A lot of people don't like to talk about sex, especially us Brits. I know I'm pretty suppressed and I'm very out there. You know, like there's plenty of my friends won't talk about it. But, you know, when you talk about lube, you've got these images of like black PVC and whips and masks and stuff. I mean, it really doesn't have like the connotations that we want it to have, right? We want it to say to women, this is a valid way to help you get through this really challenging time. It's not some dirty, gross thing that you do, like, it, you know, I don't know. I've got visions of, what's that book? All I can think of it is my dad wrote a porno, and it's The Chain Room, but 50 Shades of Grey. Like, it's I mean, yeah. You must see that being in marketing, though. You must see the way that people, like, think about what a lube is.
It's really changing, actually, and I think more and more the word lube is being used in this space. So a couple of years ago, no, it wasn't. Not at all. But more and more, as people are having those conversations about the menopause, as there are more and more celebrities, Meg Matthews, Andrew McLean, Shirley Kemp, as they're all talking about all these feisty women, you know, in their 40s and 50s, they're talking about sex, that they're using terminology like lube. So I think, and I actually really like it, because I think it makes it more accessible in a way. So lube is something actually that people are saying and talking about more.
Maybe over there. There definitely is cultural things going on as well. And I just know that I see the conversation being bigger in the UK right now. It'll filter over because these things always do. I love the fact that it is a more mainstream conversation. You know, if we just start talking about not lube with our kids, but well, we can if you want. But like, if my kids know what menopause is now, clearly, because that's all I ever talk about. But it's not a word where they roll their eyes or anything. Now it's like, yeah, you know, I know mum has to go through this. This is like a rite of passage through midlife or whatever. And they're actually really very kind about it and empathetic, because they see me going through struggles and they don't go, oh, mum's not feeling well again, you know. At least that they're like, is there anything I can do to help? Or they back off and just give me a bit of space. And so, like anything, as soon as we start the conversation, as soon as we start normalizing things and not making it such a taboo thing, then of course it's fine to say, when you nip to the supermarket, buy my tampons or my lube, please.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, something that we've been talking about a lot over here is about teaching our daughters, you know, when they're having their sex education, or teaching them about vaginal health, about how they can look after their vaginas, about making sure they're looking at their vaginas, they're using their hands, they're making, you know, they're getting to know how they feel. And as part of that conversation, talking to them about using things like vaginal moisturizers, just like they would face creams and things, just so that we can get our, you know, young girls, the next generation, more familiar with the vaginal health. And that will really help in terms of things like gynae cancers and things like that.
And pregnancy and menopause, all of those things where we see structural changes, right? And then what about like out there? So one of the things I find personally confusing about the lubricants that are out there is there's a trillion. Like over here, there's a lot of them. And you want to look for the best one for you. But it's like that, all the terminology and all of the added ingredients. And I mean, you look at the ingredients on a lube and there's a lot, because they have to tell you what they all are. What are things women should avoid when buying a lube? Like,
I think the main thing is to make sure it's pH balanced. You want something that's pH that says it's pH balanced, ideally around 4.5. So it's the same as the vaginal environment. And then you also want to make sure it's non-drying. So the osmolality, I won't go into it all, but it needs to be set at a certain level so that it's non-drying. It normally says whether or not it's non-drying. And then it's just making sure that the ingredients are natural and that there aren't too many chemicals or anything that's going to irritate the sensitive area.
So I think about perfumes. I see them perfumed and fresheners and stuff, and that just puts up red flags to me. I don't know why. I just think,
and
why?
Flavors.
Perfumes and flavors, okay.
I think perfumes is a definite no-no. You know, you want to find something that's as natural as possible, because otherwise it is going to irritate. So perfumed, flavored, anything that's been messed about with. And the other thing actually that's a big thing over here is coconut oil. And coconut oil, because it's not pH balanced. So you use coconut oil and, you know, the chances are you're probably going to get some kind of infection because it's not pH balanced. So it's great for your hair. It's great for your skin, but I wouldn't use it in your vagina.
Right. That's really good. And I hear that all the time, that women do that. I actually can't stand the smell of it. Like, I don't want to go around.
No, I know.
Honking like I'm on holiday, you know, like, but still, I know that we're drawn towards doing things that are less, have got less chemicals in. So it just seems like the perfect thing, right? You just think, okay, coconut oil, it's as natural as can be. And just be careful. That's what I would say. I mean, I know women do this and I know that they shouldn't. Gwyneth Paltrow probably told them to do it like coconut oil with glitter on, probably. But don't let me start talking about her.
No. Vaginal steaming. No.
Please don't steam your vagina. So Nikki, I just want to talk about, go back to the product again. So that was a really great conversation about sex. I just think we just need to have more of those conversations with our friends and with our partners, you know, whether they be male or female, just get the conversation like going, right? Just normalize the fact that it's completely normal to see a dip in your libido through menopause. It is. And it probably will come back when the more symptomatic side of it goes, like most of these things do, but just don't be quiet about it. Try and like rescue as much as you can of your relationship by doing those other things that you can be so proactive with, and try not to get pissed off when your husband crunches almonds in your ears and things like that, which is what my husband also does. But so your product, right, is that you basically run the British leg of this. And so for the people who are listening in the UK, I have a good chunk of people over there. Nikki's going to give 25% off one of your products purchases there. Is that just for online, Nikki?
Online purchases.
Yeah. Anybody else, like in the rest of the world, this is a New Zealand product that is distributed to other parts of the world. Like, so for example, you can buy it here in the US and it's still called Silk. It's a different packaging, and you can buy that. I've seen that in the stores over here. So like, if you want to just know a safe option, this is one of them. And that's why Nikki's on the show. And so, yeah. And so where else can people buy this then in the UK? You said you can get
so
it by
on shelf at Boots. So if you go and look in the feminine aisle, where all the other intimate products are, intimate dryness products, you'll find Silk on shelf in Boots, larger Boots stores. You can also buy it over the counter at every chemist. So if you go into your local chemist and go and see the pharmacist and say you'd like a bottle of Silk, they'll be able to get it for you. And you can also get it on prescription.
Is it usually cheaper if they get it on prescription? Is that why it's an option for prescription? Or is it just that people don't realize they can go to Boots or go online and buy it?
Is it cheaper?
Yeah, I just wondered why there was a prescription option when it's the same product.
So it is, to be honest, it is the same. It is roughly the same cost. So some women, so if you have a medical condition, so for some people, prescriptions are free. And anyone over 60, the product prescriptions are free. So if you're over 60, then it's much better to get Silk on prescription because it's going to be free. Right. But if you're under 60, you might as well go and buy it at your local Boots.
Yeah, great. Or you can buy it online, and I'll do is in the description of the show notes of the podcast, I'll make sure that the code is there for anyone to try. And like I said, this is a product that's been recommended to me through health professionals as well. So I'm really excited that Nikki's given you the opportunity to sort of try this at a reduced price. So Nikki, thank you very much for coming on the show. It was great to chat with you.
Oh, thank you. No, it was really good. Excellent.
Yeah, and let's just keep the conversation going for women. Like, let's talk about sex more. I mean, I think it's really, really important. And women who, you know, are going through menopause, I know they still want, they understand it's important. So it's really great that there's options out there that can help them, right? And even whether that's like with penetration or whether that's just intimacy, but just don't give up on it, because it's a really important part of like growing old.
Yeah,
I hate talking about this growing old, but let's face it, we are, but we're going to do it in our own impactful way. That's the main thing.
And hopefully when we're all retired, we're going to have loads of time for sex. So we definitely want to make sure our vaginas are in good working order.
You know, it's really funny because there's a TV show. I know I said goodbye to you like 10 minutes ago, but there's a TV show on over here called Grace and Frankie.
Oh, and I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And I want one of their vibrators. Like, I'm like, if somebody hasn't created the vibrator, like inspired by that show, you have to create a vibrator. Somebody has to do it. I love one that doesn't give us RSI. It's wonderful. So anyway, thank you, Nikki. Take care. And thank everybody for listening. Take care. Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on my services, head over to my website at fitandchips.com. That's like fish and chips, fitnchips.com. Or you can head over to my Fit and Chips Facebook page too. If you leave me a comment or if you contact me, I promise I'll do my best to respond to all of your questions. The views and advice expressed by myself in this show are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always go straight to your doctor. Take care. Love you. Bye.